losses in Ukraine have topped the death toll that occurred over the entire 9 years of the Soviet-Afghan War. Given the effect that had on the Soviet Union, could this be the number to bring Putin down? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton, freelance journalist and author. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. The Russian death toll in the Ukraine invasion is hard to confirm, but latest reports suggest they might be as high as 15,000 deaths. Ukraine claims over 21,000 Russians have died, while independent sources say around 15,000. This far outpaces the 1,351 claimed by official Russian sources, and would also outpace the death toll over the entire 9 years of the Soviet-Afghan War, which led in part to the downfall of the Soviet Union. Any thoughts, Ed?
I think we have the same scenario at work. The Soviets said very few people were killed in the Afghan campaign, but when mothers started looking for their sons, they weren't there. And it's beginning to happen again. Putin is now in a real box because the weapons that are being sent will mean the advance in the east and to the south will be thwarted, particularly after the sinking of the Moscow. So I think this is a box, and Putin's ways out of this box are harmful to the entire world.
Yeah, well, indeed, this week, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov also warned there is a serious risk of nuclear war over Ukraine, meaning it's not just Putin that's been kind of making these statements and these allusions. Are we closer this week to pressing the big red button?
We may well be, but remember, this is can only be a lose-lose for Russia. There are already enough men stationed on the Eastern Front in Europe to overwhelm the Russian military by about 2-to-1 margin. And firepower and jets and ships, this would be a very short war indeed, because the Russian people are really, having suffered a war, don't want to suffer another one. And having been to Russia many times, I know the Russian people's loyalty to anything called government is very weak. So this is an internal threat too, as well as an external threat. Putin has to win something. I don't know what.
Another one we've talked about several times, student debt cancellation and the Biden administration. Will they or won't they? It's kind of like a toxic romance in a sitcom at this point. Reports that this week Biden might maybe think about possibly committing to cancelling at least a bit of student debt, perhaps. Ed, why do we seem to see this one teased again and again,
remember,
with no action?
This is debt owed to people in the United States. This is guaranteed by the government.
Mm-hmm.
The government has to find the money to pay off those guarantees at the interest rates that were couponed. It can be done, but this is a hit on the debt limit. Keep that in mind. And that's why he's going slowly. He has other fish to fry, like opportunities to deal with healthcare for seniors, particularly diabetes care, opportunities to deal with the promise to low-income parents about tax relief and getting reverse tax money coming to them. So those things go across the government. Student debt only hits a small portion of the population.
Actually, I want to circle back a little bit on those couple of issues you mentioned there that are obviously part of bills the government has been pushing for since Biden was elected. But just bringing it back to student debt, my own kind of feelings at this point is that Biden might be holding back to make it part of his, either his push for midterms, so he either does it as a bonus beforehand, or it's a promise for afterwards. But it does...
Well, it could be either of those, one of those things, and I'll go along with that. However, I don't think it's, you know, just a matter of a pencil and pen. Mm. It is debt, and it has to be paid for by all the taxpayers.
I just wonder how grateful, you know, if this is pushed and pushed back, whether the recipients will still be as grateful as they might have been after the anxiety of the long process.
Who knows? Some people have paid it off already. So who knows? And other people have just dismissed it. I don't know what it buys you. I do know if he got those Dreamers in, that would buy him a whole lot of votes.
Well, look, speaking of long negotiations, bringing it back to those couple of issues you mentioned a moment ago, Ed, you and I followed the progress of the Build Back Better bill announced shortly after Biden was elected. And we followed this through negotiations, rejections, big claims, big hopes, and cuts that saw the price tag whittled down from $4 trillion to $2 to maybe one and a bit. A consistent thorn in the side of this one has been the allegedly Democrat Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia. And as a final agreement seems to be on the horizon, White House officials are still admitting, looking, and I'm sure very carefully crafted confessions to reporters, that they fear Manchin will still not come to the table even after everything has kind of been capitulated towards him. Thoughts?
I have no guess as to what Manchin's up to now, because he seems to be out with the Republicans even. So what he's trying to do is beyond me at this point. Everyone's guessing. If the White House is guessing, I sure have to guess.
And a couple more around the grounds. California. California has recorded, the sort of worst drought in the state's history, and have declared the need for historic water emergency measures. Now, some of these measures won't seem all that unusual, all that special to our Australian listeners who have lived through many drought restrictions here. But what do you make of them, Ed?
California has been in drought now for about 5 years. Mm. Remember, we had a drought, 7 years ago that lasted about 5 years. This is a cyclical thing. And when the drought ends, California is going to have our rain. I would like to send it to them in advance.
You know, I still remember I lived in Canada, as you're aware, Ed, for most of 2006. And I still remember arriving from drought stick in Australia and seeing like these massive sort of water arcs hosing down the local parks, the lush green grass and all that kind of thing. It was like arriving in the land of milk and honey. It just really actually quite blew my mind.
Well, that's not there anymore. There's no snow at Whistler.
Mm. Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis this week has signed a new voting overhaul bill that, amongst other things, establishes a new election police force, law and order election fraud unit. This makes Florida one of the first states in the country to have a unit focused on election fraud, and naturally is one that feeds into the Republican narrative that the 2020 election was stolen from loser Donald Trump. Thoughts on this one, Ed?
This is playing with dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people who get caught in this will be white, older citizens. Blacks have the Black Church, huge organizations to make sure they meet all the requirements, and poor, low-income whites don't have the same thing. And they're the ones that work in the hip-hop cafes and stuff and don't have enough ID. It won't be blacks. I think they're playing with the wrong sword.
Mm. In fact, I said when this one was first announced, and if they do have some sort of physical presence at polling booths, it also won't be in the Hispanic neighborhoods down in Miami because they vote pretty consistently Republican.
Yeah, and if they're not there, of course, blacks and others will make complaints that this is unequal treatment, and they'll win in court.
And a couple more things with Republicans this week. Kevin McCarthy has groveled in front of his party after audio emerged of him daring to blame Donald Trump over the January 6th invasion of the Capitol building in the days following the attack, as well as criticising other GOP members and pledging to urge Trump to resign. This audio appeared in response to McCarthy saying he would never, ever have done those sorts of things, but lying in the modern Republican Party, far less important than ever, questioning the Trump gospel. McCarthy's aiming to become House Speaker if Republicans secure a majority in the 2022 midterms. What do you make of the sorry saga, Ed?
It is a sorry saga, but didn't we know it? He and McConnell were both, we're going to get those rascals. The president had a hand in it. And then all of a sudden this changed. I think the change has come from the social media right, who will run McCarthy out like anybody else. They're scared to death of their own. It's like people being scared of their own children. They're scared to death of their own constituents. There is no Republican Party, and McCarthy's probably toast.
And a couple of pieces of international news before I let you go, Ed. In France, Emmanuel Macron has been returned to the presidency in their most recent election, beating out far-right opponent Marine Le Pen. But far from striking a blow against the creeping powers of fascism in Europe, Ed, I read this as just kind of another delay, personally. I mean, Le Pen secured a considerable share of the vote, and Macron's victory only came after a shift to the right, or certainly an acknowledgement of the far right in his own politics. Any thoughts?
I think you're right about this, but anything that'll get over the line, I'll take. I think that Le Pen's there for 5 years, and by that time I'll be in the White Lily retirement village and we'll be hoping for dementia.
I should hope not, mate. I want to continue this one for many, many years. But meanwhile, in the UK, Boris Johnson faces political extinction with an independent report pointing to multiple occasions, some still being investigated by police, where the Prime Minister and his officials broke COVID restrictions they themselves had established to kind of live the good life while the rest of the country bunkered down. But Johnson, in classic form, continues to refuse to admit that lockdown rules were broken. What's happening, Ed?
I guess lying's become an international political hazard. Seems like a prime minister nearby has been accused being a liar, even by the French. So why do politicians lie? Because they're politicians. And Macron's lies, Le Pen's lies, are just all of the same terribleness. But I think this is just, by the next time, the right will be smaller, actually, in France, just because they're aging out. Even in 5 years, and the left may be crazier. So who knows whether to prefer the left or the right at that point.
And just finally, Ed, our own election campaign here in Australia. I wish I had more to say about it, but I don't. I've found it incredibly underwhelming. There is no key ideological differences, and kind of with good reason. Labor tried fighting the election campaign with ideas last time, and they lost badly with that. So the coverage in our most mainstream forms of media has been biased to a disturbing degree. And voters just don't seem to care anymore, as I've sort of stated previously. Any thoughts?
I think you're right about this, but I think the cleverest things the Labour has done is get Albo off the campaign trail claiming COVID. As long as he doesn't talk, he wins. So he can't have it twice. So we have to think of something else to keep him from talking. His bench, though, talking for him, is a lot better than the Liberal bench talking for them.
Being a ghost for the last 3 years, being a ghost in opposition for the last 3 years, it's kind of worked out as a strategy. So maybe being a ghost on the election campaign will work as well.
I think so. And I hope that there are no Trump ghosts in the next campaign in the United States.
Ed and I will be back with all the goings-on from the United States and abroad next week. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast so you don't miss a thing. And check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed.